Finding joy in the valley of tears. I'm sure when the Apostle Paul and Silas were beaten within an inch of their life and cast into prison, their backs terribly wounded, no anesthetic given to them, yet at midnight after praying they sang, and all the prisoners heard them. Oh, that all the world would hear the body of Christ rejoicing in our trials, in our sorrow, in our pain. Oh, that all the world would hear. Maybe a Philippian jailer would come and say, "What must I do to be saved?" We're looking at Psalm 84 today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to it. The 84th Psalm. And in verse 6, we'll start in verse 6 and then go throughout the chapter. Psalm 84, verse 6. Referring to God's people passing through the valley of Baca. And Baca in the Hebrew means weeping and tears. While passing through the valley of tears and of suffering, they make it a well. Now the valley of Baca was normally very dry. There were a few balsam trees there that would give out some sap as if they were weeping. And so the title Baca was given to a valley of tears, where even the trees do weep because of the lack of rain. But yet, at times there is rain, for David writes, the rain also fills the pools. The rain also gives blessings, as we read in the Amplified Version. When passing through the valley of tears, they make it a well, a place of spring. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, regarding himself as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. For most believers, that's pie in the sky. That's something they just can't fathom. They don't realize that you can be sorrowful and yet rejoicing at the same time, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. No matter what brought the sorrow. A shipwreck, a disease, a beating, an imprisonment, an eventual beheading. It didn't matter. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And we say, well, that was the Apostle Paul and Peter and John. They could do that. The Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, for I follow Christ. So if we follow Paul, who follows Christ, and only when he is following Christ, we too will be brought into that valley of weeping, but also on the mountain of rejoicing. Now let's go back to verse 1 of Psalm 84. In this beautiful psalm, David gives us the means, the tools to dig wells in the valley of sorrow. The water's there, but it's down deep. They made wells. They dug wells and found the springs. In the first verse, how amiable or lovely are thy tabernacles or thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. How lovely are the places you dwell. How lovely. Now we know that God dwells in heaven, but he also dwells in the hearts of the believers. So that when we go through the valley of sorrow, we're carrying the house of God with us. And it should be lovely. There's a loveliness in our sadness. There's a loveliness in our sorrow. And the loveliness that's in the house of God, we're not talking about butterflies and rainbows and flowers, but Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." The lovely things, not butterflies, not rainbows, but Jesus. For no one is more true than Jesus. No one is more honest than Jesus. No one is more just than he. No one is pure than Christ. And none are as lovely as the Lord Jesus. That's how David got through their valley of tears. The loveliness of the Lord. How lovely are they, thy dwelling places. God dwells in the darkness, the Bible says, as well as in the light. He is the God of the valleys as well as the God of the mountains. He dwells in the desert places. He dwells within our places of sorrow. He doesn't abandon us because we're in pain. And we should say, how lovely are these dwelling places. Solomon wrote, "His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely." Altogether lovely. God dwells in heaven, and he dwells in the hearts of his children by faith. And we get to carry that loveliness no matter where we go. To the hospital, to a wheelchair, and eventually to our deathbeds. Yes, our deathbeds can be lovely because God dwells with his people. As the Bible says, precious in the sight of God is the death of his children, of the righteous. We know as Christians, because we read the Bible, we study the scriptures, that there should be joy in the midst of our sorrow, and yet it eludes us. It's foreign. We can't find it. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living waters." So where are those rivers of joy and hope? Where are they when we need the most? We read in Psalm 84:6 that they make a well. They find the place of springs. They dig and they dig and they search. And in this 84th chapter, again, we have the tools. And that first one is, how lovely are the places you dwell. And you can find God's grace as a child of his in any situation. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I've learned to be content in all circumstances, no matter where I am." Again, shipwrecked, in prison, being executed, I can be content. I can rejoice. In verse 2, we see another tool with which to dig the well. And if you're not looking for the loveliness of the Lord in that place of tears, that valley of Baca, You won't find those springs. You'll say, how dry is this place? Why has God brought me here? Why me, oh God? People who find the springs don't say, why did you bring me to this place? No, there's the spring. Verse 2. Here's how David could endure. Here's how the Apostle Paul could endure. Here's how we can endure and more than endure, actually triumph in the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. If as a Christian you're looking for joy, you've made a terrible mistake. You should not be going to God looking for joy. You go to God looking for more of Him. The longing we should have is not just for the joy, but for the Lord Himself. As David said, my flesh cries out for not joy, but for the living God. A God he had already known and loved, and yet wanted more of Him. Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And so to look for joy in Christianity is missing the mark. And another word for that is sin. Our longing should not be just for the joy and the blessings, but for God Himself. It'd be like marrying someone because you want someone to love you, or marrying someone because they have a lot of money. That's not why you marry someone, so they could take care of you and love you, but that you have someone to love. Yes, David said in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life, for in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence. Now let's go to verses 3 and 4 of Psalms 84. Yea, the sparrow has found a house. I mean, wonder why in the world is David writing about this? And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay down her young, even at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. The sparrow has a home. The swallow has a nest. And what David is saying here is that God has to be your home. Before heaven can be your home, before you can feel at home in a real church, a true church where the truth is preached, you have to make God your home. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. Psalm 91 is called the dwelling place, God the dwelling place chapter. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. You have made the Lord your house. Because you have made the Lord the place where you live. So next time someone asks you, where do you live? Tell them, I live in God. I live in the Lord Jesus. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague will come near your tent. You know, when you make a home, a real home, you take everything that you own and you bring it there. You fill it with furniture. If you have children, you bring your children there. If you have pets, you bring your pets there. You bring your possessions. Everything you have, you park your car there. Right? It's my home. I bring everything there. And so if God is our home, we bring everything to Him. We give Him everything. In Matthew Matthew 13, Jesus gave the parable of a man who was plowing in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, said Jesus, the which when a man has found, he hides it, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. This man wasn't looking for treasure, but he found it. We find joy in the valley of tears, not by looking for it, but we will find it if we're looking for God in his fullness. And this man, for the joy of finding this treasure, went home and sold everything. So if you met this man running away from his work, he left the plow and the horse, he hid the treasure so no one would steal it, he was running home, smiling and singing, "Sir, what are you doing? I'm going home to get rid of everything. I'm going home to sell everything." So what makes you so happy? "Because I'm giving up all to possess that which is greater." That is the joy that we find in Christ. When we make God our home, when we make up our minds to abide in Jesus Christ as he commanded in John 15, we don't mind forsaking all for that greater treasure, for that pearl of great price. There are more tools we need in finding these deep wells, these springs of joy. Verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. When we go through the valley of tears, suffering, loss and pain, even failure, when we go through a valley of failing God, failing our family, the tears should roll. And we should, as the Apostle Paul said, take pleasure in our infirmities, our weaknesses. We fail out of weakness. We fail because of our humanity and mortality. I take pleasure in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so we must depend on his strength, because sometimes those wells are very, very deep and we just give up. If we're working in our own strength, we will not have the courage or the ability given to us. It must be given to us through God's Spirit. In verse 6, some more tools that God gives us in digging these wells in the valley of tears. Our main verse today, "But who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also fills up the pools." Remember what he said, that we are to dwell in his house, but we're passing through the valley of tears. When you dwell in God, when your house is Jesus Christ, he is your foundation and the chief cornerstone. When you make your abode in him, remember Jesus said, "Abide in me, for apart from me you can do nothing." When we dwell in his house, we are only passing through the valley of tears. And if you're not dwelling in Christ, the valley of tears will be eternal. It will be forever. You're not passing through, because that's your home. If sin is your home, if going your way is your home, the valley of Baca will be forever. but when Christ becomes your home, when you bring all your possessions in and all your dreams, everything you have, you lay before His feet, then you are just passing through the valley of tears. The Apostle Paul said, "For our light affliction is but for a moment." It is but for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But also in verse 6, we see that the rain fills the pools. At times in this valley, it's an actual valley, at times there was rain. At times there were times of refreshing. So as we are digging for more of God, not just for joy, not just for peace, not just for comfort, but for Him who is the God of all comfort, for Jesus who is the Prince of Peace, for joy because in His presence there is fullness of, because we're digging and laboring, and God sees that. He sees the sweat of our brow, and He sends rain. He sends help. He sends times of refreshment. "Repent ye therefore and be converted," said the Apostle Peter, "that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And certainly if we're working in our own strength, we need to repent. Or if we've given up, "No, there's no joy in this sorrow that I have. There's no comfort in this problem that I'm facing." That's sin. And we need to repent, and times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Verse 7 of Psalm 84, some more tools. "They go from strength to strength." It's not but moment by moment. It's not on yesterday's strength I go today. It's not on last year's grace that I serve God today. It's from strength to strength, from moment to moment. We must realize that we will grow weary in the valley of Baca. Oh, we will collapse, we will faint. We'll give way to the pressures of that dry place and say, "There is no refreshment here. God has abandoned me. God has forsaken me." So we will think, if we don't realize it's from moment by moment that we must draw on His strength. "Until every one of them in Zion appears before God. Where is our journey to lead us? Through the valley of tears, yes, but eventually to stand before God and give account of our lives." The Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren," Romans 12:1, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Your logical service is to present your life acceptable to God. And I've told people, and I've warned myself, you may have accepted Jesus, but will He accept you? We have to live lives acceptable to Him, pleasing to Him. Why? Because we're traveling on to stand before Him. Now in verse 8. Another important tool. "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." Prayer. Prayer is more than just communicating with God, which it is. It is dependency upon God. It is when we are at our wits' end, when we have no strength left, when we feel our feet slipping, when we feel we are so weary of this problem we're going through, and we need to pray earnestly. pray, and God will give ear. We have not because we ask not. So as we're looking for those wells, we may be digging in the wrong place, looking for what God has in Himself to give us, His beauty, His loveliness. We need to dig where He wants us to dig, and as deep as He needs us to dig. And so we have to pray. Pray for wisdom. Verse 9. Behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. God, our shield. Because while we are in the valley of Baca, and we are suffering one particular problem, we need a shield against the other problems that are coming, especially the temptations to complain and to doubt God's love. We need a shield, the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The whole armor of God, represented here just by the shield, but the whole armor. Take it all, said the Apostle Paul, that you're able to stand against the cunning devices of the enemy. Behold, our God, our shield. It's faith in our God. It is He who shields us. Finding joy in the valley of tears is not an easy thing. Believing it's there is easy. But we need to find it, not just believe it's there. It is no easy thing, but it is in the realm of possibility. In fact, remember, the Apostle Paul said, follow me, for I follow Christ, and I rejoice in my sorrows. But we have to apply these tools. The right tool, a mechanic will say, or a farmer will say, the right tool for the right job. You've heard that expression. The right tool for the right job. And here, David gives us the tools. Verse 10. For a day in thy courts, just one day in your presence, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Better than 1,000 days in Disney World. Better than 1,000 years in Hollywood. Better than 10,000 eons here in this life. One day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Better than 1,000 centuries of perfect health. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know how the wicked would lavish up their tents and have all the modern amenities. I would rather be a doorkeeper. That's humility. As we dig, we must dig humbly. And we will find the joy of the Lord to be our strength. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And here the tool that we must not forget is that the Lord will give grace. That's all by His grace. He provides all the tools. He provides the spring that is deep. He provides the rain that refreshes us as we go through the valley of tears. He provides the map for us, the compass. He provides the shield. He provides the song in our hearts. He will give grace and glory. We must never think it's because we are wise, though we need wisdom. That comes from God too. We must never think because we are theologically sound, because sound theology comes from God as well. It is by His grace. that we can find joy in the valley of tears, though not looking for joy especially, but looking for God, looking for His presence in which there is fullness of joy. It's by His grace. Then in verse 12, David mentions this last as if it is the foundation upon which everything is built. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in Thee. Trust. Faith. God's grace can do no good without faith. Without faith, we cannot enter the armory and put on the armor of God. Without faith, we will collapse in the valley of tears. We will look for a different way without faith. As the Israelites said to Moses, take us back to Egypt. And when he wouldn't, they said, we must find another captain to take us back. Why? Because all they saw, all they experienced was not mixed with faith. It got them as far as the desert. It got them as far as the Baca Valley. It got them as far as the Valley of Tears. And there they died because they had not faith. They could not trust in the Lord. Trusting in Him. So the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Paul, like David, had no one more lovely in their mind than Jesus. Paul, like David, longed for the living God, not just the blessings of God, but for God Himself. That I may know Him, said the Apostle Paul. Paul, like David, made God his home, his dwelling place. Paul, like David, surrendered all to live in that home. Yea, doubtless, said the Apostle Paul, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul, like David, found his strength not in his theological background, not in his good health, not in his youth, not in his exalted status as an apostle. His strength was in the Lord and only in Him. Paul, like David, had things to repent of as he went along his journey. Paul, like David, was a man of fervent prayer. Paul, like David, walked humbly before God and men. It was he who called himself, Paul did, the chief of sinners. Least than all the saints, and then the chief of sinners. He walked humbly before God and before man. Paul, like David, always sought God's grace. That's why he starts all his epistles with grace to you. And I think he ends most of his epistles with grace. Paul, like David, walked uprightly. Paul, like David, walked by faith and not by sight. You too, like he, like David, like Paul and David, can find joy in the valley of tears by stop looking for joy and look more for God. You want more of Him in your life, more of Christ in your life. And the joy will come. And out of your innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. Of all the blessings that God has in Him, in Christ. We are only blessed in Jesus Christ. We're going to remember His sacrifice right now because it all starts by faith in Jesus Christ. And then it goes up from there. So if the brethren would come forward and
Then we'll close with a song and with prayer. So if you're looking for those wells and springs of joy in your suffering, start digging if you haven't found them. And as you dig, the rains will fall. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. You know, Jesus had joy at that hour. He's called a man of sorrows, but he was also anointed with the oil of gladness above everyone else. Jesus had sorrow, but he also had joy that many would come to be his children. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, and we'll eat together." Father, may we know that when we walk through the valley of tears, we're not walking alone. Because this also is your dwelling place. You are a God, not just of the mountaintops, but also of the valleys. For you too, Lord Jesus, shed many a tear. A beautiful tear. Tears of sorrow and tears of joy. We have them both and we thank you. Yes, in the same manner he passed it among his disciples. He said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Eat in remembrance of him. And after the same manner, he took the cup, passed it among his disciples. Yes, after the same manner also Jesus took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink in remembrance of him. And through his death and subsequent resurrection, we who believe can have a well springing up within our hearts. We can take that well of rejoicing everywhere we go. We'll need it today. We'll need it tomorrow. We'll need it on our deathbeds. We'll need that well of life. God's presence in which there's fullness of joy. Amen. You know, Jesus, when he gave the parable of the sower and the seed fell upon stony ground, wasn't much earth, and there was no depth of root. The seed did not push down, did not dig deep,
because of the rocks. And when trouble came, it withered and died. Like many a believer who does not dig deep to find those wells in the valley of tears. We're going to sing an old song. It's not in our hymn book, but I'll have it up here on the screen. Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Do you know Francis Crosby spent over 80 years blind because of a doctor's mistake when she was an infant? He put the wrong medication in her eyes. And yet, my oh my, was she a joyful person. Not seeing the light of day. Why? Because she dwelt in Christ. How amiable were the dwelling places of darkness for her, because God was there. Let's stand together. Safe in the arms of Jesus, she goes, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. If you dwell in God and make Him your house and your life, then you're just passing through the valley of tears. But if something else is your life, your job, your family, your money, your pleasures, your dreams, if this is your job, this is your house, and the valley of tears will be forever. So make the Lord Jesus your dwelling place. Abide in me, said Jesus, so you can bear much fruit. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on his gentle breast. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on his gentle breast. There by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. There by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is on. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, you are my home. You are my dwelling place. You are my refuge, my home. Father, we thank you that you offer us a home, not just in heaven, but first in Jesus. First in you. And if you be our home, you be our dwelling place, we can go through any valley. We can shed rivers of tears, and yet have those tears overcome by mountains of joy. And this is what the world needs to see. That is why it's more needful for us to be here and to suffer and to have failures and setbacks so the world can see us rejoicing, singing songs at midnight in the deepest of dungeons and pain. The world needs to see that. The world needs to hear those songs. We sing them in church, but do we sing them at the doctor's office? Do we sing them through the valley of Baca? They're there to be had. I pray we will dig. As we dig, you will send the refreshing rains as we repent of what needs to be repented of, Lord, because you are there with us in that valley. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.